We have noticed a significant amount of waste on the beaches. In your opinion, is this being recognised by the public?
Yeah, actually, I think it really is. So we've been fighting the fight for years, all of us environmentalists that have been litter picking or doing all of the other stuff for years and years. But what we've really seen in the last sort of 3 years is a massive change from the public. So the public are now getting on board. They're curious. They're asking questions. You know, 5 years ago, if I was doing a beach clean, I'd get questions about whether I was coming from the prison and was I doing, you know, some sort of service, I guess. Whereas now people are sort of saying, oh, you're doing a beach clean. Oh, maybe I'll join in, kind of thing. So there's been a real shift. It's been a really, really good thing to see, especially in the last sort of 18 months throughout the pandemic. More people are going out and enjoying their spaces, their green spaces and blue spaces. And they're kind of seeing the litter firsthand, whereas maybe they weren't before because they were not necessarily all about nature. So, yes, I think the public are definitely more aware of it now.
I've done beach cleans before and I've found many different things such as like metal, wood, all sorts. But what for you, what is the most common thing that you find on beaches?
Oh, okay. So for me, the most common thing is nurdles. I find millions of nurdles. Do you guys know what nurdles are?
Yeah. Like the little tiny bits of plastic, like really, really small bits.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're really, really miniature. They look like a lentil. They're the size of a lentil.
Yeah.
And that's what plastic is in its raw form. So when anything is made from plastic, it starts its life as this little pellet, which is called a nurdle. And we find so many on our beaches. And that's kind of my little eco-obsession is nurdles. So whenever I'm on a beach clean doing a little hunt, I'm always drawn to the nurdles. But other than that, we're seeing just lots of plastic. And unfortunately, in the last 6 months, quite a lot of single-use face masks and disposable gloves as well.
During summer periods in Cornwall, what effect does tourism have on the ocean and the behaviour of wildlife, particularly marine animals?
Okay, so tourism has got, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? So when we have visitors come, they love to see our wildlife and people protect what they love. So it's a great thing if they can see the marine wildlife. If they see some dolphins going past, they have that magical feeling of like, oh my God, there's dolphins. We must do more to protect the dolphins. They're beautiful. So it's got that really, really good side of it. But the other side is they want to interact with the wildlife. And we see that especially with seals. So baby seals might come out onto the beach to rest. And if people get too close, it can have really, really bad impacts on them, on their growth, on their feeding habits, and on their survival rates, unfortunately. It's the same with birds as well. We have a lot of nesting birds, particularly in the cliffs. People are just a bit too close. It scares the birds away. They might leave their nests, leave their babies behind. So it's really got to be very well managed, I think. There's got to be a lot more education. Like, yes, brilliant. Go and see that seal that's on a beach, but stay hundreds of meters away from it and look from a distance. Sort of appreciate it, but let's not scare them into running away, I guess.
As residents of Cornwall, we're passionate about the Cornish wildlife and the countryside. In terms of local areas, what steps can be taken to preserve Cornish environments?
Well, I think, I mean, coming from a litter picking kind of charity, I obviously think people need to be taking away whatever they're bringing to a beautiful place. Lots of people go to a beautiful place to have a picnic or to, you know, play some games, have a nice afternoon. If you can carry it in, you can carry it out. And that's got to be the message, that we don't just leave stuff behind. It's that kind of leave no trace kind of thing. I think that's got to be the way forward. And I think there seems to be a little bit of an attitude at the moment that wild spaces and blue spaces and green spaces are there for us to enjoy, which is true to some degree. But I think we've got to understand that they're there for a much bigger reason, and that, you know, a forest is there to support the entire country. You know, the benefits of having a forest are far more than just you being able to go and read your book under a tree. And having that kind of respect for the greater picture, I think, is a real shift that's needed. A lot of people seem to be able to think that they can just do what they like in our green spaces. And that's not really the case, because they're not there for us as much as they are for the importance of the whole climate.
In terms of local areas, what can we do to preserve the coastlines?
Well, coastal erosion is one of our biggest issues at the moment. I'm sure you'll have seen lots of cliffs falling away, and that's, you know, a huge problem worldwide because of climate change. So anything that we can do really to mitigate climate change is going to help with that long term. But it's about educating people as well. You know, go to your coastlines, enjoy your coastlines, leave them as you found it or better than you found it. Do a beach clean if you've gone to the beach for the day. Don't just necessarily take your own stuff home. If you see some other bits lying around, take that home too. And just remember that things live on that coastline. They're there for a reason. And we need to be supporting that because there's far more humans than there are meant to be on our little island. So we've got to leave some space and some resources really for the animals and the habitats that live there.
What do you want the G7 to highlight about issues with the ocean waste?
What I want them to highlight is that it is a global problem, but we can all play a part in the solution. And I think that's what's really key. It's very easy for people to say, oh, well, I don't throw my crisp packets out the window, so it's not my deal. You know, or I don't drink Coca-Cola, so that Coke bottle on the beach has nothing to do with me. It's very, very easy to disconnect. And I think that's got to be what is brought from this, is that every single person has got a role to play in reversing this issue that we've got right now. And it is solvable and it is fixable, but it's going to take a massive team effort. It's going to take us every day, you know, all of us normal people, and it's going to take the people in decision-making positions. It's going to take the bottom and the top to make actual changes and to get ourselves out of this issue.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.